Hello and welcome to our currently nebulous replacement PC podcast for DFW Radio. We don't know what this podcast is or what it's called. We really don't know anything about it at this point.
It's badass. That's what
because, and yet, you know, it doesn't stop us.
Yeah. I won't lie to you. We're doing this week so that we don't lose our feed of iTunes subscribers that we have worked so hard to gain with DFW Radio over the however long we did it.
I find your honesty refreshing. You should run for public office.
How do you know I'm not?
True.
So I am your new host, Brian Scott. I'm sorry. and go around and introduce ourselves.
Anthony. There he goes.
No, you got to go by your Matrix handle.
What? AKA Chuff Money.
Matt Chandonnay.
What's your...
I have a Matrix handle.
Yeah.
Like if Morpheus were to come to you and be like, it's time to free your mind, he would refer to you as...
I probably would have been like, I'm Neo. He's like, that one's already taken. Fuck. That's usually what happens.
All right. I'm Tina. My handle's Tina.
But right. Spelled creatively.
Yeah, spelled differently.
And so, like I said, this is the...
All right, let's kick
the
it.
The new PC gaming let's podcast yet to be titled and yet to have a full stable cast of people, but we're working on that. So.
And we are looking for name suggestions. Tina's going to make a thread about name suggestions, and if we decide to use yours or if we just decide that all yours suck and we think one is the best out of all the ones that suck, we're going to give that person the limited edition Warhammer box set out of Ryan's office.
Yep.
Which comes with like a graphic novel.
Wow.
That I'm sure is awesome. And
it comes with some figures to paint.
It comes with a figure to paint.
Isn't it two? No,
well, it's two one. Built into one figure.
Oh. And it comes with some special in-game titles or something. I don't know. It comes with a bunch of junk I don't want.
Basically,
so
and it comes with the automatic chance to play with Ryan Scott.
Wow.
Who's playing on Eerie Downs. And his name is Guardia.
Yeah.
Spelled just like it sounds.
Wow.
We'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Oh, yeah. But for now, let's kick it off with these flyers that you found. Yeah.
Yeah. So the real reason we're here, I mean, you may think this is a PC gaming podcast, but the real reason we're here today is to tell you about the latest developments in human force fields.
Well, these are.
No shit.
These are actually both part of the Jejune Institute, which is Jejune Institute.org. That is a website. So the first one is about the actual human force field, which channels users' own hydrodynamic activities, project a spherical charge armament against all material bodies and organic compounds.
Can I point out that actual is in italics? It's the actual human force field.
I don't know about the other one. This force field will prevent conflict, protect life, and explain it. So it says prevents conflict, protects life, personal actualization, ultimate privacy.
Wow. Need some alone time? Just fire up your force field?
So, I guess there are many unpublished physicists acknowledging the truth of this matter and offering testimony in Dr. Gene Denali's free information booklet, which apparently you can get at jejuneinstitute.com.
Wow.
So, I like when things are unpublished. It gives me faith in the authors.
But there's also this from the Jejune Institute, which is a... what is that? Since you converted, I still haven't gotten the name right.
It's Breatharianism and Ascension.
I want to know. How much does it cost me to enter into
It's a low... The price starts in initial cost as low as $10 million. But it says here, did you know that your body and spirit is able to thrive without physical food? The true Breatharian is a multidimensional being whose bloodstream contains the six following precious metals: gold, platinum, iridium, palladium, osmium, and rhodium. Okay. And it's, you know, this thing says that if you enroll in this program, the workshop includes a visit to Earth Prime in the fifth dimension in your physical body if you're ready. And you also learn how to become a permanent resident or retire in this beautiful world.
Oh shit.
And these two opportunities were brought to my attention by some flyers that were taped to lampposts here in downtown San Francisco. I wanted to share them with all of you.
I'd like to give out the phone number for Breatharianism, which is 415 704-0904. I want people to call that.
Now, either this is what they wanted, we're giving them exactly what they wanted, right. Or this is a cruel prank played on somebody, in which case I apologize to that person for
ripping my mind. We found these flyers.
Yeah, they were published on an open telephone pole.
So if you're interested in Breatharianism...
And ascension. Living in the fifth dimension.
Call that number.
And the actual human force field.
That's trippy, dude. It's going to give me nightmares now.
And of course it's a San Francisco number because like there's nothing more fun than living in the town of crazies.
Can you describe this photo? Like, what is this blonde girl with like no eyes?
It looks like she's probably been in the fifth dimension for a while.
Really?
Now,
she looks like she's having fun.
So Ryan, since Legendary Thread this week is going to be done at BlizzCon, which means we'll probably be mostly talking about Blizzard games.
Right.
Why don't you talk to us a little about your experiences in Warhammer Online last night?
I have been playing Warhammer Online. It's a really, really good game.
So far?
So far, my character's level 14 out of caps at 40. Yeah. So the low levels are holding up pretty good. I think it's probably the first game that... I said a lot of this in the chat that we shot for the one-up show, which you may be watching by the time you... listen to this. I don't know. No,
I don't think there's any cross audience actually.
Well, okay. If you've seen the one up show, I apologize for saying the same thing that I said there. But anyway, I think this game is one of the first sort of post WoW MMOs that takes a lot of things that WoW did and does something kind of meaningful with them. You know, the way that the PvP is integrated into the game, some of the world PvP objectives. You know, if your side owns them, it's like a good versus evil sort of thing. And if you own some of the world PvP objectives, it means bonuses for your entire side. So there's like this incentive to fight other players. And that, you know, that's what I dig in MMOs.
But more importantly, what did you do last night?
Okay, well, last night, I just wanted to make clear that this is a good game. Like, I am in no way unhappy with this game overall. Like, it's a great MMO that I think everybody
should try.
I like
this preface. It's leading to something.
Well, So last night I decided I'm going to make a guild because, you know, I've been in the guild called The Kindred since my days in UO, and I like to kind of take that name and reserve it just in case.
Was when it was UO though, mm-hmm. Was it your guild or was it someone else's guild? And then since then you've just been ripping off someone else's idea Kindred should be.
It's one of my online gaming buddies' guilds, but I mean, we play together. And
right, but I want to know what is the Kindred's charter. Like, if I was a potential Kindred recruit, and you approached me about joining the Kindred,
I could actually go into that, but let me tell this story first. So, okay. Yeah, we do have a whole charter. I could direct you to a website and everything, but...
Shit. I look forward to this.
That's core.
So I decided I'm going to go make a guild. And I find out that this game has about the most difficult and impossible guild formation process you could possibly imagine in a game. You have to get 6 ungilded people in a party, mm-hmm. all standing in the same place in front of the one guild NPC in the entire game. They all have to be standing there at the same time for you to form a guild.
He's like a notary public. He has to witness
It's
your commitment.
One NPC in the capital city of the game, which there's one capital city, and it's... If you haven't been playing for a little bit, it's kind of a bitch to know how to get to, if you don't already know where it is. And this is a game that... It sort of like doesn't encourage communication in the way that a lot of MMOs do, simply because it sort of automates a lot of the group related mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people don't really talk. And so I question the need to have 6 people all with you standing at the same place to do this.
Well, I kind of question the need to have like 6 people in order to form a guild in the first place.
Right.
It never made sense to me. I mean, why in World of Warcraft, why can't I just create, you know, the Chuff Money Guild that's just me?
Hey, you know what? In World of Warcraft, at least all you have to do is get 10 people to sign a charter and just click on the dude. They don't have to all be standing there.
Right.
Right? And yeah, what's wrong with me like just going up and being like, "Hey, here's some money. Give me a damn guild." Right. No, I can't do that.
I think that's a terrible idea. You should have to go on like a waiting list, and then you should have to go through like a bureaucratic process.
That's basically what I did. It took me 2 hours, two solid hours last night.
I want people to be committed
to get this guild started.
Yeah, but don't you think like that would prevent people from making like really silly guilds?
They'll do it anyway. Yeah. They do it all. I mean, like you walk around in Warcraft and you see things like Palin is a hoe is already a guild.
Because they took the time to actually get all, you know, in front of that guy and stuff.
Now,
wouldn't you feel that the kindred was much more special if you had to gather five other kindred spirits to be part of the kindred?
Each representing one of the vampire families. Guild.
This is just reserving the damn name.
Did you That's kick them I- after they made it?
Yes. I mean, I told them all so this was reserving the name, but okay. Okay, look. The only way I was even able to do this was I posted a blog on 1UP. To be like, dear people who read this, please make Warhammer characters and go here and help me. And that's how I got.
You walked out into your back porch and pulled out the banana rider horn.
I mean, that's basically what I did because I knew it would have eyes on it.
How long did it take for people to actually show up?
It probably took like 15 or 20 minutes.
Did
and
you
I got
thank
a tell
them?
From somebody.
Did you say
oh
thank
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did. I actually posted a follow up just thanking all the different people by name. So. If you're listening, I really appreciate it.
But now they can't even be in your...
Well, no, I told them, because we have a 1UP guild that our reviewer, Rory Mannion, started. And so
What's
a lot of
called?
People... it's like, what regiment you with?
Wiv?
Wiv, W-I-V.
I don't approve. Should have resurrected
It's something
Pinoy.
That one of the you know how when you click on an NPC, they have like mindless, stupid chat?
Yeah.
That's something I think that one of the humans, like the humans would be like, oh, what regiment you with? Like so that's I think it was that's gotcha. What he was mocking. But
fair enough.
Anyway, I had to beg 1UP users to log into this game so I could make this guild. That's the link that I had to go to.
Then he kicked them out of it.
Like all I wanted to do was reserve the name so nobody else could have it. So that I you know, if I choose to, which I may in the future, resurrect the kindred in Warhammer Online.
So what does it mean to be a part of the kindred now?
Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
You knew he was going to come back to this.
I honestly, guild charters are an important thing to me. Like when I was in World of Warcraft when we made the White Lions, you know.
Yeah. What was your guild charter? It was a list of 10 names.
Well, in EverQuest, we always used to have a lot of hardcore rules, like no PvP with like enemy races were kill on site, but like elves and stuff like that, they had to attack first. Like you could never initiate it. Like. Basically, our guild charter neutered us and made us into everyone's bitch. But for some reason, I was like all about it because I thought it was really honorable. When I was like 13, I thought it was cool.
Yeah. Were you on a role-playing server?
No.
No?
But in EverQuest, every server was a role-playing server.
Were you like, hail to people?
Oh, yeah. Hail. That's how you walked up to people. Or sometimes if they were like really high level and you thought they might beat your ass, you just walk by and like bow a bunch.
Yeah.
please. Don't kill me.
Man.
So tell us.
No, anyways, your charter. Yeah. I want to know what the kindred are.
So the kindred has been around since Ultima Online, and that it's never been really that big in any MMO since then, just because of the way...
So on the website, does it say like established like 1995?
It was established in, I think, 99. But Back then, I mean, Ultima Online was a game where you could have a small guild of like, you know, 10 or 12 dedicated people.
Yeah.
And that was really, you know, you could like do well with that. I mean, the game was structured so that was really viable. Mm. You know, when 12 people jump out of nowhere all at once to help you against somebody who's killing you, it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And our guild charter, we basically, you know, our rules were like, you know, you have to actually type like an intelligent human being. You can't, you know, you can't be like a dude and you know, you can't be like some wanton troublemaker that's going to go around just killing people.
Then I could,
and real
I
girls
could
got
innocent.
In automatically.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think that's an unwritten rule to every guild charter though. I don't think that's unique to the kindred.
God, I would need to go to the website and actually look.
Do you guys have a roster list of who's in the kindred?
We have one that includes all the people from UO. This website hasn't been updated to like modern games in a long time.
Should I look it up on my iPhone? Should we do this like right now?
It's all in Flash.
See what, oh.
Do it.
Lame. Yeah, so you wouldn't be able.
That's so 99.
It is. Yeah. But, you know, we were sort of the people that, you know how there are like the PKs and sort of the anti-PKs?
Yeah.
We were the people who would go around like killing all the troublemakers, but we would harass some of the babies as well. But we wouldn't, you know, we didn't want anybody else screwing with them.
See, that's how I started off too. I was like, I want to fight against like player killing and stuff like that and have honor. But nowadays right. when I go in, I just want to be as big of a dick as possible.
Well, we would always, there was this guild. We played on Ultimate Online on the Pacific server, which was one of the bigger ones. It was like one of the early servers. But there was this, one of the in-game cities, Skara Brae, was like sanctioned by the staff of UOGN. It was like this official player city. It had all the special decorations and stuff because it had this huge community. And there's this ranger hall right outside of town. Like they cross the docks and then there you go a little bit north and there's this ranger hall.
This is too much detail.
Okay. But there's this guild. There's this guild. They're called the Rangers of Skara Brae, RSB. And they were like the classic sort of like
douchebags,
Care Bear players, you know, they just wanted to be happy and get along and not have conflict with anybody.
Sure.
And any conflict they had would be role played, you know.
Right.
And so we would always go up and like make fun of them and crash their meetings and to cause general trouble. But you know, if anybody else did, we had their backs most of the time.
So for some reason, this is reminding me of back in the day when I used to play EverQuest. Like how sad it was that like I played that game so much that sometimes that's like the only way I find out about current events.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when we first invaded Iraq, I remember it was because I was playing EverQuest.
Yeah.
And people were like, fuck yeah, we're going to kill those Iraqi sons of bitches. And I was just like, what are you guys talking about? We invaded Iraq. And I was like, really?
I love it when politics come up in like a general MMO chat channel.
Oh my God. And it never stops. It's just like,
it's like the most horrifying.
It makes really you realize is. That either they just like, because they're anonymous and they want to be dicks, they're saying like really like flaming stuff,
yeah.
Or the people that play games are actually the gun-toting NRA Republicans that you never thought they were.
Like no, what's even better is that the is it occasionally when somebody tries to insert a mod, you know, a little bit of decorum into the debate, and they have some like long drawn-out thing, and it just gets completely ignored. And like the immediate response right after is, you know, STFU, you know, that kind of shit.
You like, it's like oh. Type out some like. Two paragraph thing, and then the next guy's like Chuck Norris.
Dude, it's just like it makes me think that wow, all the fucking like you know, Karl Rove's out there, the world are right. That's the only way to like win the political game is to just you know appease the masses in their desire for blood.
So
I don't know. I'm curious. Three of us are going to BlizzCon.
Yep.
So. Yeah. Why do you guys care about going to BlizzCon? Like, Ryan, are you there because you're like, I can't wait to find out about the Frozen Throne that I've already played? Like, I don't understand where the appeal is for you there. Or are you, like, hardcore into Diablo and I never knew that? Because that would be surprising. But I don't picture you for a Diablo or StarCraft player.
I'm not, no. Yeah. StarCraft was kind of like, I got to the two RTS games a little bit late. I guess, well... Age of Empires 2 is where I kind of started.
That's not necessarily late.
Well...
Because you didn't start with what, Command & Conquer?
It was after StarCraft, because I think Age of Empires was...
People in Korea still play StarCraft? Huh? It's never too late to join up.
Well,
it's because their whole economy is dependent on it.
I'll play StarCraft 2, but I'm not necessarily like, you know, oh yeah, StarCraft. I'm not one of those people.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know it's going to be... Like, I know it'll be cool. I played a lot of Warcraft 3, but...
As soon as you jump into a StarCraft server and somebody pops on with a Korean name, that's when you just quit. like I've already lost.
The thing, you know, the thing I'm most interested in BlizzCon is just seeing who shows up to this. You know, I mean, I'm sure they have a hall with booths where people sell stuff. That'll be interesting to check out.
And it's going to be on pay-per-view, man.
Yeah.
Are you saying that what really interests you is the caliber of people that are going to this? Like, that's what you want to see?
I just want to see, like, just the attendance. Just see what kinds of people show up at BlizzCon. Because I've been to other... I've been to, Dark Age of Camelot fan fests that I've covered for... I've had... This is...
Wow.
Because I cover... I've never played Dark Age of Camelot. This is something I had to cover for CGW at one point. I think there was an EverQuest one.
I'm imagining you backpedaling, telling your girlfriend about this. and even she's like, I'm out.
I've been to these things, and it's, you know, it's interesting seeing the kind of people who attend these events. And
I'm not going to lie. I've been to, like, war game conventions of Northern California and stuff like that, so.
Hot.
And I went, I wasn't covering shit. I was just there because I wanted to be there.
Nice. Wow. So you got no excuse.
Yeah, I'm just giving you a hard time. I would totally go to these things as well.
I went to actual Renaissance fairs back in the day.
So oh, me too. My city used to have one every year. I used to go every year. I loved it.
Yeah. I still have like a peasant costume somewhere.
Did you dress up as your alter ego, Chuff?
No. Back then, Chuff didn't exist because I didn't start playing Warhammer until I went to Scotland, like in between my sophomore and junior year of college, you know, and Warhammer's like super big in Europe.
Yeah.
So there are Games Workshop stores everywhere. So instead of like seeing all the cities I'd be going to a lot of times, I'd end up spending a lot of time at some Game Workshop stores talking with the guys there. So, yeah.
In Scottish accents.
No, man. Scottish people, like, everyone has a misconception about Scottish people. Like, they think that they speak English and like that you should be able to go over there and communicate with them. That's all bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you see a movie like Braveheart, and that is like the most whitewashed Scottish you've ever heard in your life. Like, I remember we asked someone for directions to get to a Games Workshop store.
Right.
And we were like, and they gave it to us, and we were like, all right, thank you. Didn't understand a word they fucking said. Yeah. We walked out down the street, asked someone else. They tried to tell us. As near as we could figure out, they were saying, like, Saki Elf Street, Saki Elf Street. And it turned out it was, like, Sauchy Hall or something like that. either way, these people don't speak a word of fucking English, man.
So, wow.
Racist. I'm just saying. Well, they got their own form of English. I'm sure the way that I speak, they think I just sound like a moron or something. So.
All the time.
Yeah, I like the times that I've been to Scotland, I ran into the exact same issue. Although I did run into somebody once who spoke, I don't know, maybe it's the Queen's Scottish or something, because I could totally understand him. And he had the exact accent that I expected. But that was like a rare treat. Everybody else was completely unintelligible.
Yeah, people on TV you could understand.
But they will fucking buy you a beer. Like, all you have to do is sit there and they'll be like, oh, yeah, romantico, here, beer. It's amazing.
I've never been to Scotland.
Yeah.
I don't have any cool stories.
Well, to be fair, I make it sound like I'm like a seasoned traveler, but that's pretty much the extent of
your travels.
Of my travels.
I'm looking forward to StarCraft 2 at BlizzCon. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Are you a big RTS player?
Just StarCraft. It was like one of the first PC games I ever played, and it was in high school. I was taking C++, and it was such BS. So, like, instead we played StarCraft, and my classmates were teaching me. It was my first time. They're like, oh, by the way, because I was Protoss, they're like, the object of the game is to build pylons everywhere. I was like, what the fuck? Like, pylons? So I did that for, like, 30 minutes, and I was like, I'm owning. You know, like, all these pylons everywhere, my land. And then out of nowhere, like, these Zergs came and killed me. And I was pretty pissed, you know, but they had fun with me, and I learned how to play that way, the hard way.
I used to, sorry, go ahead.
Huh? Me?
Go ahead. Yeah, you weren't done.
No, I just, yeah, I really like StarCraft a lot. I'm always Protoss. I've never been anything else, and it's all about scouts, so.
I was never very big in the multiplayer. I always played those games, like, all Blizzard RTSs. I played them all for the single player, which I guess a lot of people will scoff at, but like, because when I first got into them during the days of like Warcraft 2 and stuff like that, like a lot of people didn't, I mean, even the days of StarCraft, a lot of people didn't play games online yet.
Yeah.
Like the only time I ever used to play StarCraft multiplayer was when we'd go to this place that I had a connection. So it was like this place with 10 network computers. We'd all go in there, and this was when Taco Bell tacos were like 39 cents a piece. And we'd go there and seriously like order 100.
Yeah.
And I'm not fucking lying about the quantity. It was like 100. And we'd just stay there all night. And I remember he had a giant R2-D2 soda holder. And we'd just fill that fucker up with sodas and eat Taco Bell tacos and play StarCraft all night.
See, yeah. Land parties. That's where it's at.
I'm a little bit older than you guys. So like I was already in the workforce when Warcraft 2 and then StarCraft came out. And so like I was playing them with people in the office. But I never really played them much online or anything like that yet either. But my I had a Korean girlfriend for a little while, and she went to stay with some family in Korea, and I went to stay with her. And when I was there, I bought a box set of DVDs from StarCraft Matches of the Sky. Boxer. I can't remember his full tag, but it was like Boxer _ something. But anyway,
by the way, he was like the shit at one point.
Yeah, but Boxer is known as like the master Terran player in the entire world.
Snap.
And so I bought this DVD box set, and it has like a t-shirt in it, and it has like player cards of him without his shirt on and stuff like that.
Wow.
Like with highlights in his hair and looking all like, he doesn't even have like, he has like a gamer's body, and like he's there like posing with his shirt
what's a gamer's body?
You can look right over here too.
Allow me to unbutton my, no I won't.
And hello.
Ribbing your tummy.
Yeah.
All right. Okay,
and
cool.
So the, but anyway, like I started watching these matches on these DVDs, and they're like in front of these, you know, we all know about like the crazy Korean tournaments or whatever with like girls crying in the front row when their guy loses.
Are you serious?
Like, oh, yeah.
I didn't know it was like
that. No, it's like fucking Michael Jackson concert.
When they appear, it's like the Beatles just came out.
Yeah.
And, StarCraft, yeah. It's like a national sport.
It is.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It is.
It's
partially responsible for the rebound in the Korean economy.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there's something like one out of every four people in Korea, at least that's what my girlfriend at the time told me, that has played StarCraft. Not like in a particular age group. One out of every four people.
I've heard it's like a rite of passage there these days. Like, because Koreans have like their, like, I could be wrong, but I heard Korea as a country is a lot more hardcore about like their age restrictions on video games.
You mean
South
Korea.
South Korea. Well, right. when most people talk about Korea these days, they're talking about South Korea.
As
if they're talking about North
hole.
Korea, they'll be like, evil land.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a... But yeah, right. So, you know, the most people there, like, they take it very seriously about the age restriction of the game. And I guess StarCraft's supposed to be like a 13 plus. So I heard that's like the equivalent of like a...
Cigarettes
of like
alcohol.
Of like
stuff.
A... no, what's it like? I was trying to think of when you become... Like a
bar mitzvah.
A bar mitzvah. It's like or a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. Yeah, it's like the equivalent there. Like, you are 13. Here's your copy of StarCraft. I bought this for you when you were born.
And here's your boxer DVD box set.
I've been holding on to it since then.
Oh my God.
Someday you'll make us proud, I know. Like other people want their kid to go on and be a priest or something like that. Like, you will be a tournament StarCraft player.
That'd be awesome. Oh my God.
I'm telling you, we need Korean gaming TV the way that they have it there. It was awesome. Like, I didn't need to understand the language. I knew that channel 20, whatever it was, I would turn it on.
StarCraft.
24-hour, like, well, a lot of it was StarCraft matches, but they had, like, phone game matches and Counter-Strike game
cell
matches.
Cell phone game matches?
Yeah, like wow. Broadcast live, you know? It was crazy shit. Like, I would totally...
With the right host that could make it, like, dilute it into a way that would make sense to mass audience, it would work, I guess.
Yeah. Like, it's just weird that, like, looking at that, it looks to us like a hardcore audience, but that was mainstream in Korea.
Bob, the PR of StarCraft, for the
Bob the PR.
I call him Bob the PR because I don't know his name's like Coleco.
Bob Coleco.
Coleco, yes. I met him at PAX, and he was telling me that they presented like the first trailer of StarCraft 2 like in a huge stadium in Korea South Korea.
There's a video of it.
Yeah,
you can hear
them.
They go,
he was saying like they got all excited and like they were speechless when they saw what was it like some unit from Protoss. I'm going blank right now, but they rushed and they were like,
yeah, you should watch the videos. Yeah. It is exactly like that. It's very funny when you think about it, because it's like if they introduced it here in America, it'd be a bunch of people like, fuck yeah, or something like that. But Korean people are all very, sounds like they're all very mannered, but they're, oh. like when the guys rushed in, you're just like, it's like everyone else here would be like, no, it's kind of cool, they rush. Koreans are like thinking in their head, like going home and writing out game plans. All right, so this unit can rush now. I must start training.
Their lower lip is trembling. That's awesome. No, that's cool. I respect that.
I mean, that's why they announce stuff in Korea. Why would they announce it here in America when they like have like such an impact on a nation of people?
Yeah.
So you're excited about StarCraft 2. I'm excited about just the population of BlizzCon and Wrath of the Lich King. I'm sure there'll be some.
Yeah, I think
when you say population, do you mean like
the people that
are
babes? I want to observe like the cosplay contest.
Yeah, okay.
Are there even going to be booth babes there? And if so, it's like,
I'm sure
it's like if I wanted to see a girl dressed up as a night elf, that's what Google's for.
We're going to be doing
now we know what Anthony does at night.
David Ellis and I are going to be doing a floor crawl.
Yeah, you can look forward to that video.
Yeah. Booth babe crawl.
Think no. Sean Elliott, but way more funny.
Oh God! Don't think that. Don't hold me to that.
We're gonna term you the Wajinator.
Wow!
Who knew one man could make every situation so awkward? Go up and be like, "It's a nice costume." Just stare at them.
The camera next to them. Oh, that'll be awesome. I
so,
see that.
So, what are you excited about, Anthony?
Mostly I want to see the, like, I mean, Diablo, I played it with friends, but I never played through Diablo 2, like, by myself. I tried, but then my friends would always be like, oh, you're playing Diablo, we should play together. But whenever you play with people that are, like, people that really play Diablo, they all want to play it like those type of people, which means, like, you're beating the final boss within, like, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's not the way I like to roll. I'd rather go slowly and, like, check out every piece of equipment, whereas with the people I was with were like, no time, just leave it all on the ground, I'll tell you if it's even worth picking up, and I'll be like, oh, okay.
Jesus.
So I am kind of looking forward to playing Diablo 3 by myself, single player, maybe cooperatively with someone. And StarCraft 2, I'm mostly looking forward to the single player as well, because I really want to see how they're doing that, because I heard you like return to a ship hub and all that. And honestly, just after playing like the type of RTS the Company Heroes is, I'm still not sure that I'm really going to get into stuff that's like Command and Conquer or StarCraft, where it's like, how fast can you do a click fest?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, those games are awesome. Like, no doubt about it. I'll still play.
Are you saying whoever clicks the most wins?
No, I'm saying that it's like, I am never been the type of person that could get really good at using hotkeys and stuff like that. So I'm already at a vast disadvantage.
Do you click on stuff when you play World of Warcraft, or do you use
Yeah, I do. And even when I play Company of Heroes, I don't use any hotkeys at all.
Wow.
Which probably makes people be surprised, because like, that's like one game I'll beat you at, but but it's like, you know, like Company Heroes, you can do that, I don't know, and still be good.
Well, like going back to the boxer videos, that was one thing, is whenever they, because they have somebody in as an observer, but they can also show, you know, the footage from the individual sides, and you'll see him moving around, and it looks like it has to be a script running it so fucking fast and like precise, you know, and it's like, who knows the amount of hotkeys that he has programmed in to use
that,
or whatever.
That makes me think of that guy from Aliens, the robot guy with the knife.
Oh, yeah.
His fingers. Bishop.
I was going to say, why was I spacing on his name? He has a name. We don't, just because he's a robot doesn't mean he doesn't have a name.
I thought you hated robots.
I do hate robots, yeah. But he was not a robot.
He was an android.
Synthetic.
Yeah.
Anyways. You hate robots?
I do not like robots.
Do you hate Johnny Five?
Yeah, well, I like Johnny Five's counterparts that weren't alive.
Did you hate Conky from Pee Wee's Playhouse?
Oh, shit.
Conky, yeah. I'm not a big fan of Conky.
How about Wally?
I haven't seen Wally, as a matter of fact.
So, did it make you uncomfortable that you drank soda out of an R2-D2?
No.
Knowing your hatred?
R2-D2's still a robot. Like, I would never say R2-D2's alive. Like, R2-D2 still just complies with what humans need.
So you hate
him? No, not really.
Yes, sometimes he may know better than what humans need.
Yeah.
But
isn't that the part that gets out of control, though? Isn't that what you feel?
Well, first off, in Star Wars universe, let's be one thing for, like, out in the open, that if a droid's ever getting out of line, you just put one of those...
Inhibitor.
I can't think of what they're called, but he has one on him when they first get him.
A restraining bolt, yes.
Yeah, so you can put a restraining bolt on him if you're worried about those things.
Right.
Or you can always do a memory wipe and start him over. So,
Skip, you're on the opening
for us today. You know, I want to go back to the Korean thing, like, and how they do, like, the click fest, because I'm wondering if, like, it's, like, after a tennis match, it was, like, super common for, like, Andre Agassi to, like, take off his sweaty shirt and throw it.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, in tennis matches, professional, they only ever use a ball twice, and then it's considered unusable.
Mm.
So I'm just wondering, like, after a match, when you click a mouse that much, he just, like, throws his, like, finger groove mouse, and he's just, like, to the crowd, he's like, there you go, bitches. No good for me anymore.
Wow.
No, the athletes were... remarkably restrained. I mean, they would come out and they would bow and they would sit down and they'd be like,
athletes,
you know, zombies at their computers for a while in their sponsored getup that had logos all over it. And then once the match was done, they'd get up, they'd bow, they'd wave, and they'd walk off.
I guess if it was here in America, there'd be a lot more showmanship.
Would you consider them athletes? You kind of scoffed.
Athletes.
No?
That was tongue firmly planted in cheek.
I would consider them athletes more in like the same vein as like a decathlon person or like a debater. You know what I mean? It's like a mental taxing thing.
It's a physical challenging thing though too. I mean, like, you have to, the eye-hand coordination that those guys demonstrate is way beyond anything.
Right. I guess it's like, do we consider ping pong players, excuse me, what is the technical term?
Table tennis.
Do we consider table tennis?
That's it. Now the Chinese aren't going to listen to your podcast. Good job.
Where does the term ping pong come from? Is that like some secret racist thing that I've never known?
Reminds me of that Elvis movie that he was in. His Asian servant, he called him ping pong.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I swear. It's
the
like
secret
the
racist
Hawaiian
side of
one.
Elvis. Wow. Back then it was. Wow. Back then it wasn't racist, though.
No, I'm serious.
Ryan laughs because he still thinks that's funny. White women only.
Dang.
It's like Breakfast at Tiffany's. You know, that wasn't racist at all either.
Hey, so actually, I'm looking forward to Diablo 3 too. Because when I first picked up Diablo, my dad took one look at the box and told me I wasn't allowed to play it. He's all, "What the hell?
What's wrong
with
the pentagrams?"
Ask Anthony. Anthony, why can't I play Diablo?
Because it's Diablo is Spanish.
Satan's game. Oh,
Diablo right. is Spanish for the devil.
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, "What the hell?" Oh yeah.
It could very well be on the.
Did
Catholic
you tell him
list.
That you're trying to kill the devil?
Oh no! I didn't know anything about the game. I
except
just,
that you yeah, become but, the devil.
But in the Diablo universe, there's also no Jesus. Let's make that perfectly clear.
Oh, it's true.
I mean, I don't know who the God is in it, but there's no Jesus. So,
in fact, they only really ever address the fact that there's like the
evil
Diablo.
That yeah, you, they don't ever address even, the fact that there is a good God.
Yeah, and then you take like the Diablo how crystal you know and you jam it into your own forehead because you're stupid like that.
Oh yeah.
If they never address it, how is it fact?
I refuse to have this conversation. You know what? That actually reminds me of yesterday. I was in my house and I started trying to have a conversation with my roommate because he sent me a link to this thing. And it was like a link to a shirt that's like, could a Star Destroyer beat the USS Enterprise? And specifically the model that was in the Next Generation
right.
TV show. Because, uh-huh. you know, there's like many different designations of all oh, the different yeah. Enterprises.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's important, dude.
Yeah, exactly. That does matter for as far as armament goes. But he was like, my roommate refused to even have the conversation with me. It was kind of making me mad.
Wait, you wanted to have the conversation? So who would win a fight?
Yeah. So, yeah, what's your opinion? I'll listen to you.
I feel like, and see, I'm going to instantly get hate on this, though. Because
well,
I feel
you're
like
you hate no matter what yeah. you say.
I feel like people think that it's just because I like Star Wars that I think a Star Destroyer would win.
Oh, that's why I think it would win.
Okay, well, it's
I think a squadron of X-Wings would just come in and kill both of them.
That's the thing is that, first off, the Enterprise can't scramble any fighters. It can scramble mm-hmm. a couple of shuttlecraft, which do have phasers, but they're pretty weak.
Right.
And then on top of that, the Empire's total armament, I'm saying the Enterprise's total armament, I'm pretty sure, is one forward phaser, one rear phaser, and a torpedo bay on each side. So that's the best they can do.
No, their phasers God. Aren't just forward and reverse phasers. Their phasers are on at least
oh,
on
it can,
the,
it can rotate
the
around the
yeah,
whole disc.
It can go
okay.
around the whole disc.
But either way, I'm saying it could fire like one shot, whereas the Star Destroyer's got turbo lasers all over it. And then on top of that, it can fire things like concussion missiles, you know, and torpedoes when it needs to. On top of being able to scramble TIE fighters, TIE bombers, it could board the Enterprise.
How long have you been practicing this?
You know what? Like, I'm looking at Skip to make sure that this is all, like, I can confirm all this because you lost me at the beginning with your t-shirt.
Plus,
what's a TIE fighter?
Plus, I just feel
I
like
a TIE fighter
on the Enterprise, like, whenever, geez. Like, let's say the Empire were to board the Enterprise. So the Empire is going to be bringing stormtroopers to the battle. And what's the Enterprise going to muster? Have you ever noticed, like, whenever it's Star Trek, anytime they're boarded, it's just like every normal asshole that's normally just a bridge member all of a sudden is also a trained warrior.
Yeah.
And it's like what? Maybe you got Worf that might do some damage against stormtroopers, but in the end you got a legion of stormtroopers who are, like, trained fighters, and then you just got a bunch of assholes with phasers.
So here's the thing, though, is that the Enterprise, like, throughout all of their history, they've always relied on their shields. They're primarily defensive in mm-hmm. combat. So they have like these massive, massive shields that are able to deflect anything. In fact, when they run up against lasers, you know, they laugh at them in the series. They're like, oh, these guys are only armed with lasers.
No, that's true. I mean, I have seen, though, that, like, for instance, I have seen certain movies where, like, they were getting shot by Klingons enough that their shields can go down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you do make me think about the fact that, you know, you got like someone like Geordi in engineering, and he always is really good at calibrating the shields to where like they can match the shields to where like certain types of lasers won't even do damage.
Right.
So then what happens when turbo lasers have no effect?
Right.
You just made a good point.
And then like
I retract my previous statement. And I put it on a pending future investigation.
That's totally fair. All right. Well, I think that people on the boards need to respond to this, and like this problem needs to be solved. It's sort of like 1UP FM's, you know, what makes a sandwich, the meat or the bread.
Right. I mean, the reason this conversation came up originally is because my roommate sent me a link to a shirt that said, who would win, the Enterprise or a Star Destroyer? Excuse me, I'll be busy getting laid, is what it said underneath it. And, you know, cause it's just like... So.
Well, see, I don't have the latter problem, so I'll absorb myself in the former question.
Well, well.
It's like a GameFAQs poll.
I actually, yeah, Tina, I demand you make a poll about this afterwards. All on the board.
Yeah. I vote on Star Wars.
But we'll have totally back on topic. We'll have good BlizzCon stuff coming up next week. Hopefully when we start the new PC podcast, we can talk about that, since there will be plenty of that that won't really make sense to talk about on Legendary Thread. So, I mean, like, as far as, like, the Diablo. And maybe we can even get... It'd be cool if we could get some audio interview that we could clip in or something, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to make any promises, but either way, we are doing interviews with people, so...
Right.
But, So we've actually arrived at the end of all the shit that I wrote down to talk about.
Really? What about Good Grief? Wasn't that on?
Oh, that wasn't on here. I just figured if that came up, me and you would do that anecdotally.
Now it's ruined.
Do you got something you want to talk about?
You blew it, dude.
How did I blow it? This is a cooperative effort.
Who has Steam accounts? You have a Steam account.
I have a Steam account, yeah.
Yeah? Ryan? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should... host another game night.
Yeah, everyone that tried to play with us the other day, and then we didn't because someone came home too late to actually make the match happen.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, what game was it? Call of Duty?
Yeah, we were going to try and play Call of Duty.
I didn't even know about this.
So,
Thanks for the lack of the invite.
So,
I know,
and now I'm on your podcast.
I'm ignoring Matt as if he doesn't exist right now because I don't want to feel bad. but we'll be doing that again soon.
And Team Fortress 2.
I know.
We'll make a blog about it.
The one game I will.
Yeah, play. I mean, Team Fortress is probably what we'll do.
I haven't played it yet.
That's so much more of like a Steam sort of thing.
Team terrible? Fortress, I can actually play. Sorry,
yeah. That's the thing. Team Fortress is, I think, is the game.
All
that
right,
we're gonna
I'll
do
tell it. God, you guys are all looking.
It's only $20. It's a steal.
No, but So Anthony and I have this group called Good Grief that we started two weeks ago.
No, I don't know. Probably longer than that.
The one up group.
Yeah, we play games and, you know, give people that are being jerks a hard time by being jerks.
We're like, I like to say we're like Robin Hood. We rob from the rich and give to the poor. But it's we grief the bullies.
You nice. Get to expose some really big...
See, that's like what I did.
There was this guy.
Online.
Sometimes you expose people that are just dicks and you're just like I'll ask like in a really sincere voice. Like there was this guy named Black Gumby.
And I was like, yeah,
I was like, is there a black pokey? And he was like, who the fuck said that? And I was like, I just want to know, is there a black pokey? Is there a black pokey? And then he's like, fuck you, you racist bubble. And I was like, I'm sorry. I just want to know if there's a black pokey.
Wow. I remember that. Oh my god, I couldn't move. I remember.
Yeah, just things like that sometimes. Where do we just ask things people about their name?
You're exposing the real jerks. You're like the Borat.
Or you know what's even worse? There's times where I'm not even trying to grief with Anthony, and I just say like, "Hey, Chuff, look out to your left." And
then someone goes, "Shut up, little girl. Shut up, little girl." And
holy you're just like, shit!
What?
Or even like little boy, right?
Yeah,
like,
a lot of times
it's better when they think I'm a guy, because then I like it's not as offensive.
Then you can be like, I'm only 10.
No, it's funny.
Don't make fun of me.
How do I?
Yeah, they'll be like, how old are you? And you're like, I'm not supposed to say.
That's what I told them. I'm like, I'm not allowed to say how old I am.
That's fucking brilliant.
And then they'll be like, what else does your mom tell you? I'm like, there's a list near my TV.
and so when people swear, I'll be like, don't swear. Her mom can hear you on the speakers and she gets mad, and then everyone's just like, fuck.
it's even better when we're both talking like little kids, and then you're like, manners.
Yeah, I yell manners every time someone swears. Stop doing that.
Wow.
You're totally missing out. It's awesome.
I'm hardcore missing out. Like, okay, count me in next time.
Yeah. We go on Xbox Live too.
Yeah, we can play. That is where it's the worst. That's the one place where we ever had someone say that they were going to.
They were
going
to hang me, right?
Well, it was hang you and drag you behind a car.
Yeah,
because they were convinced.
First off,
they were convinced Tina was male.
Jesus.
And then at some point, they were like, "You're gay. You like guys or something?" And yeah, she was like, "I do like guys." And they're like, "I knew it." We're gonna drag.
I didn't even change my voice, right? Like I'm just talking, and they're asking me questions. One dude, he was like, "Hey, so have you ever done ballet?" And I was like, "Yeah, when I was 4. And they're like, "Oh shit, you're a fag." Like, we knew it. It's like, whatever.
People on Xbox Live.
It's like, it's so easy.
And then, and then Anthony called him a, he called him a bigot.
I called him a bigot, and he said, oh, now we're using big words. And I said, where are you
bigot's
from?
Bigot's a big word.
I said, where are you from? And they said, Texas. And I said, oh, Texas, boy. Five letters, bigot, five letters.
It was awesome. Best times ever.
But that was an interesting conversation.
They didn't like that. Yeah, you know, they wanted to drag Tina behind a truck.
Wow. I know, they're so harsh, but it's awesome. It's actually even funnier when we get Alice to play with us.
Oh, man.
Because her gamer tag's like Peanatsu. That's how she pronounces it. Mm-hmm. But she, when guys hear her talking, you know, they're like, hey, like, what's your name? And she says it's Pants, but she didn't know how to use the directional pad. And she felt like the worst in people. It's awesome.
It's sad, too, because, like, you know, like me and Tina sound like whatever when we're talking, but Alice cannot... for the life of her not sound like she's like a 15-year-old girl or something like that. Like, just when she speaks, it just comes off that way. And then imagine Alice then when she's trying to sound like a little kid. It is actually pretty terrifying.
So. Wow. We had to get her on here like using her voice. It's pretty funny.
So that's what I do with my free time a lot of times at night.
So when do you guys think you're going to do your next match?
Probably after BlizzCon is what I'd guess.
You think so?
Yeah, because we'll be gone
this weekend.
Oh, your
motherboard is fried. But,
so yeah, so we'll do it. We'll do it soon. We'll
what
put
happened
up a,
to your motherboard?
A blog about it.
We were playing Call of Duty 4 the other night, and then he just left. I thought it was because you were doing bad.
I got a blue screen. And let's make one thing clear. I was doing better than either you or David.
No.
Yes.
No.
So.
You. Never.
But yeah, I think we're winding down, so I guess we should probably call it. So.
Dang.
I mean, unless someone else has something pressing, they really want to talk about it, but I don't, you know, this was kind of impromptu, and I don't think anybody's really been... playing that
you
many
sort of
PC
just
games.
Like pulled me out of my desk. Hey, you want to be on a podcast? And I'm like, sure.
Yeah, I apologize. I mean, in the future, we're working on a much more formatted show, and all of us will be playing a lot more games. It's just like right now with TGS and everything else.
No, dude, it was like an honor. I felt like wow, they really like me.
So
we can be more ask
Ryan
users to be constructive
head.
With their criticism.
Yeah, be constructive with the criticism. Tina will be making a thread. You guys can also suggest names there. We'll be
please,
doing the Warhammer box thing.
Good names. We really want someone to come up with a good name for the PC podcast.
Yeah, funny names, whatever. You can put them there. But we are actually looking for a real name that would be kind of cool. So, and we're giving you a chance to help us. So take that as you will.
That said, we will be back hopefully next week with a name and another podcast.
Yep.
Nice.
And a hopefully permanent cast. So we will see you then.
Yeah.